It's our friend Nick Coit from ABC6 in Providence. Hello there, Nick.
Hello there, Rich. What's happening?
Oh, just cruising through a chilly Monday. Is it cold down your way?
It is. Yeah, we got a nice little coating of snow last night.
Oh, my.
So, yep, starting to look like December finally here.
Yeah, I know it's coming, but I'm trying to hold off as long as I can.
Yeah, me too. It's that time of the year. I was expecting it. Hasn't been too bad yet. Talk to me in February. I'll be like, thanks. I'll be that angry New Englander that wants it to go away. But for now, it's the holiday season. How could you be in a bad mood?
Right. Brighten it up a little bit. Absolutely. Well, that may be the best place to get in a good mood, because I'm not sure the Patriots are going to do it. It's a big one tonight as they take on the Cardinals in the Monday night game. Is it too much to say, given what's happened in the last couple of weeks, that this is a must win?
No, it's not. If you want to compete for any sort of sniff at the playoffs, it is a must win. You got to win everything going forward here, but especially tonight and the Raiders game coming up, knowing what you have on the horizon, the final three games with, you know, the Bengals, the Dolphins, and the Bills, all very tough games. This one is one that you're facing a team that's been in disarray this year, that looks like it's going to be making some major changes in the offseason coming up. This is a game that if your operation is still, you know, the sort of operation that the Patriots have been, and I know there's been some bumps this year and it has been a little different, but if you still run at least a decent operation, this is one of those games that you should go on the road and win, particularly because the Cardinals, it's very strange, but the Cardinals really stink at home. They're 1-11, their last 12 home games. They stink in this stadium. So, yeah, this is one you got to have.
Well, let's talk about the offense tonight. Mac Jones put up some pretty good overall numbers last time out, but still having trouble getting them into the end zone. They are a terrible red zone team. They're terrible in short yardage situations. What can they do differently tonight?
It's tough. I mean, if they can protect Mac Jones, that would go a long way. I think that's where a lot of things can start in football sometimes when you're talking about problems with either side of the football is in the trenches, and there has been inconsistency when it comes to the offensive line. So if they can play a little more consistently, protect Mac Jones the way that they did in that Vikings game, that actually was a night where you're like, well, they kind of had a patchwork offensive line that night, and they were able to protect Mac Jones, and look at what they were able to do. So I think it starts there. And then just some of the play calling, I think we saw the outburst by Mac Jones on the sideline, said the quick game stinks, whatever it was at the end of the Bills game. I do think they have to open it up a little bit. I do. Just playing conservatively and not taking some shots here and just kind of being timid on offense, I don't think is going to get it done, especially if you get behind in the game. You can't be timid. And in the situation that they're in, they got to score points. They got to get things rolling. They got to find some sort of rhythm. And so I hope at least a little bit they open things up here, and hopefully that would help Mac Jones.
The defensive has played pretty well at times. Obviously, tonight it's a bit of a challenge, and they haven't always done great against these dual-threat quarterbacks.
No, that's the one thing that you're afraid of, I think, with Kyler Murray. Looking back, I just have thoughts. My head immediately goes to that 22nd play that he had against the Raiders earlier this season, where he's running around like a madman and you couldn't get him. He was like Pac-Man. It's unbelievable. What he can do. And, you know, then you have flashbacks of what Justin Fields did with the Bears against the Patriots on Monday Night Football. So hopefully they've got that shirt up here. You know, that's the biggest threat, I think. Yes, DeAndre Hopkins could be a threat, and, you know, guys like that where, you know, Kyler Murray might go with the ball with his arm, but I do think it is his legs that can be the biggest threat to this Patriots defense that, you know, at times has real problems against mobile quarterbacks.
Well, the playoff situation is an interesting one. The Jets are struggling, had their opportunities yesterday against Buffalo, but couldn't finish it out. All of a sudden, the Chargers are playing the way I think a lot of people thought they would play, and really it seems to come down to those two teams and the Patriots for what, maybe one playoff spot among the three of them?
Yeah. You know, unless Miami were to falter here, which, you know, they lose to the Chargers, and that kind of puts them back in the mud a little bit. So maybe, but yeah, it's the Chargers and the Jets that you're trying to compete with. And the Chargers have a pretty, it's pretty soft in terms of their schedule ending the year here. There are games that if the Chargers play the way they did against the Dolphins last night, they should probably win those games. And so if you're the Patriots, you've got to take care of business in the games that, you know, you should have. And I think tonight is one of them. I think next week against the Raiders should be one of them. You know, and then after that, you're going to have to take one of those, at least one of those games, you know, the final three, in order to keep pace. Obviously, the Dolphins game might have, you know, a significant impact, however the Dolphins do going forward. So, yeah, you know, when you look at it, the schedule right now, I mean, the Jets with Mike White and the injury now, you wonder, you know, if they have to put Zach Wilson back out there, you know, hey, maybe they'll throw a bunch of picks and they'll fall out of the race. But yeah, those are the two teams you're looking at, and the Chargers right now, if they're going to hum like that, it's going to be difficult to catch.
We're talking with Nick Coit, ABC6 in Providence this afternoon. All right, let's shift gears. I hate to bring it up because I know you're a baseball guy, but this offseason is, not off to a great start for Chaim Bloom and the Red Sox.
Rich, I come back to one simple question with the Red Sox. What's the philosophy? What are they doing? What are they doing? I don't know. I can't answer that question clearly. I can't. I don't know. You know, maybe I'll be able to answer it a little more clearly when we figure out what the plan is with Rafael Devers. Maybe. But even then, you've let a lot of your young homegrown talent walk out the door. Did I expect the Boston Red Sox to give Xander Bogaerts an 11-year contract? No. Would I give anybody an 11-year contract? No. It's bad business. Would I take care of a guy who's been a leader in my clubhouse, a homegrown talent, and give him a fair contract offer before last season so that I can keep him on a reasonable deal and not have to compete with 11 years on a contract? Yes, I would. And so I don't know what the philosophy is here. You don't keep Bogaerts. You didn't want him, clearly, because of the offer you put out last offseason. Yet you're overextending yourself for a leadoff hitter from Japan who's never played in the major leagues. And maybe Yoshida will be something. I don't know. And you're extending yourself for a closer who's 35 years old, who, look, I'm not going to complain about getting a closer because they needed one, and I think it'll help the bullpen. But what's the philosophy? What are we trying to do? Are we trying to compete for championships? When I hear Xander Bogaerts in his press conference out in San Diego say that he's refreshed for this different challenge, signing with a team that wants to win,
yeah,
I question what the philosophy is of the Boston Red Sox, because clearly he didn't get that vibe with the organization that he had been with for 14 years. So that's the question I come back to. I can't answer it. I hope that at some point this offseason I can, and I hope they do answer it for all of us.
So I don't know if it's the lack of an overall direction from management, from ownership. I agree with you completely. I don't know what it is they're trying to do. And I wonder, and I've voiced this opinion, I wonder if Chaim Bloom, who was used to trying to constantly get the cheapest alternative and bang for his buck in Tampa Bay, if he even knows what to do with having a big payroll. Because, look, I understand the Bogaerts thing and not committing to that amount of money and that length. But then, as you said, to spend $90 million on an unproven guy and to tie up over $30 million on a closer when that role seems to be getting phased out a lot in Major League Baseball, that's a role that changes. You go with a hot hand as the season rolls on rather than commit to one guy who, if he goes belly up, you're out $30 million.
Well, and that's why I think it'll be really interesting to see what they do with Rafael Devers. Because if they sign him to a big contract, maybe Chaim has figured it out. Maybe they had a conversation. Maybe, I don't know. But it's going to tell you. Because if they trade him away, if they let him walk out the door, then you're telling everybody that you don't sign premium players to big contracts. And that's your philosophy. And I think it's the wrong philosophy for Boston when you have that kind of payroll. But what it also might tell you is, and, you know, I hate to throw out theories that, you know, aren't proven yet, but if you're an owner like John Henry and you don't want to tie up any big contract in your organization that last year spent the luxury tax, so they're willing to do it, does that tell you that maybe they're getting ready to sell the team? I don't know. I don't have any intel on that. I'm throwing that out there. But usually, and Rich, you know this in our business, when companies don't want big, huge contracts or big, huge assets on the books, it tells you that it's easier to unload a company or an asset by not having those on the books, right?
Absolutely. So with that in mind, what do you think they'll do at shortstop? Do they try to get a cheaper deal for somebody like a Dansby Swanson? Or do they just say, well, we can move Trevor Story to short, put Kike Hernandez at second, and then find some other middle-of-the-road outfielder to play center field?
Right now, I would lean option B there, Rich, with what they've done so far this offseason. And they get it's just I shake my head because the deal that they gave to Trevor Story, if they put that deal on the table for Xander Bogaerts last offseason, I think he's still here. They may have been, I don't know, $10 to $20 million off with that, and maybe Bogaerts would have wanted six at what, 160 instead of six at 140, which is, I believe, what Trevor Story got. But at least it's a respectable offer where Bogaerts says, okay, maybe they do want to keep me. I should stay here. Let's get a deal done. Let's get this on the books, and I'll be here for the rest of my career. That's what I shake my head at. Clearly, no matter what they said in the media with he's our number one offseason priority, I don't believe them. I shouldn't have, knowing what they signed Trevor Story to last offseason. That's what they're going to do with shortstop, I think. I think they're going to move him over there. He kind of hinted at it even in his introductory press conference last year at spring training. Oh, I'll play second base this year and then see what happens. You know, I think to see what happens is he's getting moved to shortstop, and they're waiting for their prospect Meyer in the system, which I think is also a dangerous thing because they kind of just did that at the first base position. Tristan Casas is finally sounds like he's going to be here, which is good. He was at the end of last year. But for 2 years, that position was a black hole. They didn't do anything with it. You can't just bank on prospects coming up in 2 years. You got to compete the 2 years that the prospects or 3 years that the prospects not there. And I think they made that mistake at shortstop. Luckily, Trevor Story's here, I guess, so they can fill it in. But, I don't know. I think it's going to be Trevor Story to answer your question. I'm just venting here. It gives me a headache.
I'm with you. Could be a long winter for Red Sox fans. Nick Coyne, ABC 6 Providence. Nick, always great catching up with you, my friend. Thanks for being with us. And if we don't talk with you, hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a very happy New Year.
Yeah, happy holidays to you guys. And, thanks for letting me vent about baseball.
That's why I'm here. No charge, no check needed. I would just want to help you out. I want to be that guy to sit on the couch, listen to you, and I hope it makes you feel better.
Thank you very, very soon.
Hey, we'll see you later, Nick.
Take care, my friend.
That is Nick Coyne on Downtown.